brain food. Sitting in the shelves of every one of my first cousin's homes is a copy of the cookbook, Have Fun with Herbs, self-published by my grandmother in the late 1950s. So I thought it would be a fitting family unity exercise to dedicate a weekend when all of us, spread across the country, would concoct one of the recipes and then share our experiences in remembrance of my grandmother on her 110th birthday. As I perused the book, I realized that while being a cherished family item, Have Fun with Herbs was seriously flawed as a cookbook. There were many instances where the temperature of the oven was omitted, and that maddening phrase, cook until done, was frequently used. Its dated quality was charming. It seemed that many recipes focused on the novelty of frozen vegetables. For example, the recipe for string beans and mushrooms called for a package of bird's eyes French-style frozen beans in a can of mushroom soup. Other expressions included eggs that were high and scarce, presumably describing the price and scarcity of eggs during World War II, or an egg of butter, referring to an estimated quantity of butter in the era before quarter-pound sticks were wrapped with tablespoons conveniently marked. My cousin Susie thought that the theme of the recipes was to add wine early and often, while I detected that many of the recipes included the unhealthy trifecta of butter, cream, and eggs. I was hosting a smattering of local relatives and had considered a variety of unique menu items for our memorial meal. A buffet of tripe and tongue seemed to fit the bill, but this proposed menu was greeted with outright hostility by the senior members of our group. When asked which he preferred, Uncle Frank said he would prefer not to come, and my father begged to have something different. I got the message and was secretly relieved, since wrestling with a big slab of tongue or working with slithery tripe was a little off-putting. I then focused on my fond memories of dessert served on Sunday lunches at my grandmother's house. My usual seat was at Granny's right, and she would give me initials to dessert and let me guess. There was some sort of homemade strawberry ice cream that was somehow held together with melted marshmallows and junket with chocolate shaving served in little Pyrex dishes. But H.M., good old honey mousse, was one of the favorites, and I decided to make this for dessert. As I reviewed the recipe, I was not surprised to see that it consisted of honey, eggs, cream, and gelatin. The amount of cream in the recipe seemed overwhelming for this health-conscious age. So based on Susie's observation, I made the executive decision to substitute a cup of sherry for one cup of cream. Then the recipe called for placing the sweet, creamy concoction in a mold, and I found just the thing. At Christmas time, I had gotten a catalog from the Anatomical Supply Company, which primarily sold posters and models of body parts. For example, doctors could use a poster of the heart or a model of the eye for patient education materials in their office. But I also discovered that they sold molds of body parts as a novelty, and I purchased molds of the left hand and the brain. I took the honey mousse and poured it into the brain mold, bloop, 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 and allowed it to set. Working with gelatin can be a little dicey, as too much or too little will result in pure rubber or runny bloop. As lunchtime approached, I was pleased to note that a slight jiggle of the mold revealed a good consistency. The next challenge was to get the mousse out of the mold in one piece. My young niece Della and I secretly went into the kitchen and sort of vibrated the thing, and then used a little knife around the edges. Holding our breath, we tipped the mold onto a plate. With a whoosh, the brain plopped on the plate in one glorious and glistening piece. The Anatomical Supply Company had helpfully provided recipes with their molds, and the brain mold suggested that watermelon jello would produce a most lifelike brain. They obviously never considered the attributes of honey mousse. The écru-colored honey mousse shimmied and shimmered on the plate. If this mousse was any brainier, it would have been Einstein's. We gave Uncle Frank the honors of serving dessert and told him that since he rejected other organ meats for the entrees, we had found a suitable substitute for dessert. The poor man was initially panic-stricken at the sight of this lifelike human brain, but then he erupted in peals of laughter. As predicted, this mousse packed a wallop. The diluted creaminess was more than compensated by the alcohol content, and our group of 10 could barely polish off the frontal lobes.